Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
About 4 hours and 20 minutes away from what most fans consider to be the start of the NCAA tournament, round of 64, the opening round, however you want to put it. First four in the books in Dayton, and now we get to where your brackets start. Let's put it that way. Brackets start in 4 hours and 20 minutes, so you have just about 4 hours to get to 92.9thegame.com and fill out your bracket. It is free. Maybe we can get Steve Holman to get there and fill out his bracket. Can we twist your arm there, Holman, to get to our website and put in a bracket or no?
I'll put one in. I just usually I usually make contributions to those things, though.
No, it's all free. You know, the only thing you have to contribute is yourself.
I will. I'll do it then. I'll get out there. What does it have to be in by noon?
Yep. Yeah, you got plenty of time. But how many brackets do Steve? How many brackets do you usually fill out if you get a chance to fill out brackets for March Madness?
I only fill out one. We usually have one at the Hawks that I fill out, you know, and that's about it because I really have had no luck in it. You know, I mean, every time I think I might pick an upset, you know, I don't, and then they do upset, and every time I pick one, they don't. So it's, you know, you know how those go.
Yeah. It's kind of hard to tell because, you know, you never know what drives a team or what gets a team hot or anything like that. But it's one of those things that everybody's going to be doing it. So, you know, good luck to you, Steve, in your pool, well, in your NCAA picking your teams. Good luck to you.
Well, thank you. You know, it's sort of like highlight. If you can find out whose birthday it is or who's about to have a baby, mm-hmm. those are the guys that always win at highlight. But you never know about that until after it's over.
Right, exactly. Steve Holman, play-by-play voice of the Atlanta Hawks. Big game for the Hawks tonight, taking on the Utah Jazz. And, you know, let me ask you, Steve, before we get into the game. All of us know about what happened last week in Utah with that fan base. Has it been your experience that the Jazz fan base – is a difficult one, more so than other fan bases, or no?
Well, you know, it's funny, John, you mentioned that, because I was just saying that they've always been kind of, for some reason, you know, mean-spirited, I guess, is the best way to put it, the Utah fans. And I don't know why that is, but, you know, that they can't just be happy cheering against you or cheering for their team. You know, they have to make it a little bit more personal sometimes, you know? So I've always said that. And I've said that for, you know, 30 years, that I've always been surprised when we go there because everybody's generally so nice there, you know? I mean, Salt Lake City, everybody's great and friendly. And then all of a sudden they change into, you know, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde type thing at the arena.
Yeah, I know. It's, you know, really been my experience too with the college teams there. I haven't experienced the pro teams, but it's the same thing. When I was doing play-by-play in the Mountain West Conference, I said, you know, the one place we didn't want to go was BYU because it was just so nasty. You know, I mean, it was just harsh, and we didn't quite understand it, but I guess that's out there in Utah. That's the way they cheer, well, I guess.
They don't have enough vices, I guess.
I guess not. I guess that's their big one. Steve, to the tournament, how do you watch and how do you think Travis Schlenk and other GMs watch the tournament? I mean, they don't watch it the same way that, like, I'm just watching to see. You know, we all know that we want to see Zion, you know, play because he's such an intriguing guy. But are you watching for all those potential guys that could fall, you know, into – will you seek out the games – if you have an opportunity, hey, we could be looking at Rui Hachimura. We could be looking at, at Duke, at one of the Duke players like Cam Reddish. Will you seek out those games for those guys that could fall into our slot?
Yeah, I mean, if they're on, I'll watch them. But I don't generally pick out a certain game to watch for a certain player because, we have all those people, Travis and all of his folks that exactly know what they're doing with that. I would have no idea who to take or who to pick. And Travis has done such a good job the last couple of years with the number 19 picks, you know, never mind the rest of them. But John Collins and Kevin Herter have been pretty good at those spots. So You hear all the names, of course, from different people, and all those Twitter things and everything else. So if I see some of those guys out there, I'll watch them. But generally, I like to wait until they're here or they're in the NBA to kind of focus in on them, because all of the other speculation, I don't really, I don't follow the college game all that much. So, I watch it for just fun, the tournament, and bounce around to the channels and see some channels that I don't usually watch, True TV and, all those other channels. And so was it USA and some of the games too.
You know what, speaking of Kevin Herter and the rest of those guys, talk about the job that Coach Pierce has done developing this young talent in such a short period of time. Because I'm looking at those young guys out there and their contributions every night, and I'm like, wow, this team might be in a position in a couple of years to be a serious contender. So talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I think you're right. He's been the perfect coach for this team and for these guys. I mean, he's got 12 years experience in the NBA, and he's been with Philadelphia the last few years with that, the quote process, and has seen all of the stuff that happens with the young players. And Lloyd has been terrific. I mean, he's got this team, I think, way ahead of where anybody, even probably within the organization, thought we'd be at this point. I mean, they compete every night. They play hard every night. And the biggest thing is that he likes to teach them is that they're learning every night. I mean, every night, it might sound cliche-ish, but it's a learning, a learning possibility every night. So every experience that they go through is going to help them down the line, and he presents it to them that way. Even games, sometimes we'll have the lead late and then lose, and learning how to finish is part of all of that. And I think that one of the things Lloyd did this year that I thought was terrific was bring in, Vince Carter and Jeremy Lin, because those two guys have been around the block, certainly, especially Vince. And, Vince has been a mentor and a teacher, too, not only playing the way he is, 41% on three-pointers this year, but, he's just been a great guy to have around the locker room and with these young guys to teach them how to be pros. And, I think a lot of times teams that go for just the youth movements all the time, they forget about that. To have a figure like that, through the 60-win season, we had Elton Brand in our locker room. And look what Elton's done now. He's the GM at Philadelphia. So, but Lloyd has been terrific. I mean, and he knows his stuff, too. I mean, not only that, but he knows how to coach, which is, an added bonus to everything else. So, like I say, I think they're way ahead of schedule. And I'm just so excited about, what they've done, what they can do. And even these last 10 games, they're going to be, a part of the learning process for these guys. And when you think about it, when you get the young guys this summer, Trey's going to be looking at, Lloyd said he's going to send him a whole tape of different defenses that were thrown at him all year. And if he studies that and gets ready and has another good summer and comes back and we have a couple of nice draft picks, I think this team's got some great possibilities. And a lot sooner, I think, than later. So I think they're going to jump right into this thing very quickly. And, of course, there's a lot of money, too, for free agents available over the next couple of years. And one thing about Tony Ressler is that, he's not afraid to spend that money for good players. And he's got the confidence because of his, business acumen to know how to approach these guys and talk to the big-name players that I think we can get them here. I mean, I have full confidence in Travis and Tony and everybody that's involved to bring in some big names here eventually.
Hawks and Jazz tonight, State Farm Arena. Tickets available at Hawks.com. We're talking with Steve Holman, play-by-play voice of the Hawks. The broadcast begins tonight on 99 The Game at 7, and Steve on the call at 7:30.
You know what, Steve? Me and John have been kind of kicking this around a little bit. We know that first pick is very, very important, and that's the pick that you could definitely get a difference maker in. But I've been trying to tell John that I think with the way that Coach Pierce has coached this team and the way that Travis Link is looking at this team, those later picks that you're going to potentially have, those guys are going to be just as important to this team because they're going to be probably those Kevin Herters and guys like that. Do you see it the same way?
Yeah, those are important, all those later picks, because not only can you pick somebody that you can use, you can also maybe use those as a chip in some sort of deal or something. So I think to pile up these draft picks has been a really good thing. But I think it was I don't know if it was to you guys or somebody, Travis, said about when some fans have been complaining that maybe we've been winning too much. He said if I can't make a good pick at number 7, 12, 15, 19, 25 or whatever, you know, he should be doing the job. So I think he, you know, I have full confidence in what he does, and he's got some great people working with him too in that scouting department, and I just think it's going to be whoever they take, you know, is going to be will be what they're looking for as far as a person, a player, and the chemistry thing is so important. And you know, in pro sports and all of them, and I think especially in basketball, role players are so important too. I mean, you can't just load up on stars all the time. You have to have role players that know what they should be doing when they should be doing it. You know, so I think those are important guys to pick too.
Hawks and Jazz tonight on 92 on the game. Steve Holman, Steve, we're going to pick your brain a little bit. We'll have you come on here when we get to the playoffs and give us your thoughts on that. But just to the Hawks here, 10 games to go. Well, now 9. To go in the season here. Has this season kind of in any way met or exceeded your expectations for the Hawks?
Well, yes. I mean, it succeeded, you know, I think what all of us thought when the year started, and it's been so much fun. I mean, I have had one of the most fun rides this year that I've had in many, many years. You know, these young guys, I mean, are amazing. I mean, to watch Trey and John up close every night, and Kevin Herter, and Amari Spellman before he got hurt. You know, I mean, just to see their development over the course of the year, and to see them having fun like they do. I mean, it's Lloyd has made this fun for guys, you know, which is something it's fun to watch. I mean, and when you see them night in and night out, you know, for 48 minutes every night, and see what they've done and how they've developed. I mean, it's been so much fun, and this thing with Trey and John Collins. I mean, this could be. And Herter, I mean, it could be big for 10 years with these guys. I just think their potential, they're 20, they're 21, you know, 19. And just think about it, 5 years when they start to really to get it and mature. And it's just going to, I think we're going to be a force to be reckoned with very, very soon.
It's always a pleasure having you on. Like I said, we'll have to bring you on and pick your brain about the playoffs and much more. I do appreciate you taking a few minutes, Steve. Look forward to the game tonight.
You the man, Steve.
All right, guys. Thank you. It's always fun being on with you guys. You know that. Anytime.
Yeah, anytime. We'll drag you in studio one day, too. All right? In the offseason.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Get the Starbucks ready.
We got you.
Steve Holman joining us this morning on the WadeFord.com hotline. A couple of quick baseball notes here because we have some breaking baseball news. One, the Braves have just announced they have signed Josh Tomlin to a minor league contract. Josh Tomlin's a veteran pitcher, Hugh, spent a number of years in Cleveland, is a starter. You know, he's a bit of an older kind of guy, but he is obviously, this is a move because of the injuries to Foldy and Gausman. They're going to put him in minor league. They may need him to come up and make a spot starter too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it is. And I know this is not the move that people want them to make because there's been some rumors that Craig Kimbrell has been talking to a few teams.
Oh, this probably wasn't very expensive.
Yeah. Yeah. But they made this move in order to get some guys healthy and see what they have with the young guys.
Right. This is a protective move more than anything else. With Josh Tomlin come up and make a starter two for you, especially in April, where you know you're not sure about, you know, again, what are you breaking camp with? Your rotation is going to be Julio Teheran, Sean Newcomb, Kyle Wright, Tukey Toussaint, Max Fried, and so that's a really super young rotation. And so you get a veteran like Josh Tomlin, I think that is a spot start situation, or even, you know, if he will go to the bullpen, I don't know if he will, but if he will go to the bullpen, maybe that's somebody you can rely on. Another big baseball note that broke this morning, ESPN reporting that right now the Mariners are playing. They're leading the A's 4-2. This is game 2 in Tokyo. But what we found out that we didn't necessarily know is that immediately following this game, Ichiro Suzuki is going to announce his retirement from Major League Baseball. And
you know,
he is
funny.
Done.
How old is Ichiro? He's
45.
About what I was about to say, because I'm looking at him out there, and I'm like, cat, dude, I'm like, me and him look about the same age. He's been playing a long time. Congratulations to him, man, for a stellar career. To be out there, I know how my body feels now at 47. And for you to be out there doing and playing the game that you love at 45 years old and still be able to play at a high level, I commend you for that.
Well, he broke into the major leagues in 2001. And all he did in his first year in the majors – now, granted, there were a lot of people that were a little disappointed that he won Rookie of the Year because – he had played a number of years in Japan, so define rookie. But still, he won Rookie of the Year. He won the MVP in his first major league season. And since then, his 3,089 hits, 117 home runs, he's going to the Hall of Fame. He is a lock for Cooperstown. There is no question about that. I mean, guy stole 500 bases in the major leagues, and he didn't even play. He played a long time in the major leagues, but you add up his Japan numbers – Some people don't like to do that. They don't like to add the Japan numbers to Major League numbers because it's like adding the Warren Moon CFL numbers or saying that Bob Horner hit 60 home runs with the Hiroshima Toyo Carp or whatever team.
Yeah, but you can't because it's a different league.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a different league. And to be fair, you know, I mean, his numbers in Major League Baseball, they're good enough. He's a Hall of Famer. So
yeah,
he doesn't need
it. He is a locked first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, there's no question about that.
I was just out there looking. I'm like, man, he looks like he has grandkids that are about to have kids. And I was like, hey, I mean, but if you're doing what you would love to do, and you're still effective at it, I say go for it.
Well, I'm glad he went back to Seattle, and this is perfect if you think about it. He's, you know, this game is in the bottom of the seventh inning. He's in Tokyo. He's in Japan. He's going to be on the field. He's going to announce his retirement. And so this is going to be gigantic, gigantic news in Japan. He's going to be in the Japanese Hall of Fame. He's going to be at Cooperstown. What a great baseball player. And so Ichiro Suzuki, again, according to ESPN, retiring in the next hour from Major League Baseball as soon as this game ends. When we get back, yesterday was pro day at UGA. What did Thomas Dimitroff have to say, though, about the Falcons, about Grady Jarrett, about Julio Jones, about the contracts, and more? Yeah, he spoke about the team. We have that sound. We'll play it for you as we continue. All right, tell me you've done your bracket. Come on, you've done your bracket, right? Oh, you haven't? Okay, well, here's your opportunity. When you get into work here in a few minutes, or if you're at home and you're working from home and whatnot, if you're in front of your computer, go to 929thegame.com. And when you get to our website, click on the contests tab at the top of the page. That'll take you to the March Madness bracket. You can fill it out. It's free. You get to play against hundreds and hundreds of these listeners out here. And tomorrow morning, we're going to be talking about the leaders in the clubhouse after day one of the tournament. You'll have till noon to fill out your bracket online. And then the games today start at 12:15. So we're a little less than 4 hours away from the start of the big Thursday in the NCAA tournament. John and Hugh on the morning show. A lot to get to today. Braves made a little bit of news this morning with signing a player named Josh Tomlin, veteran pitcher, to a minor league contract and getting that deal done. He's coming in as a stopgap guy just because you're a little dinged up on the pitching staff.
Yeah, and that's what it is. But you know, the Braves will get a lot of heat for that because it's like, you know, you look at one of the positions. It's just unfortunate that that's the guy that you sign. And that's the one position that a lot of people feel is your greatest need if you want to take that next step. But for all the fans that are listening, this is to help. This is like a stopgap. This is like the hold the fort guy until you get some healthy arms coming in, riding in on the cavalry. This is not a major move that they feel like this guy's going to be a major contributor. This is a guy that's going to come in and like you said, give you spot starts if you need that.
At the moment, healthy, you have six starters. You have six, but you're just not healthy. You have Julio Teheran, you have Sean Newcomb, you have Kyle Wright, Tuki Toussaint. That's the four you got right now along with Max Fried. And then to those four, you add the two guys that are dinged up, Mike Foltynewicz, Kevin Gausman. You've got six starters, all right? You don't really need another starter. You just need some help right now because Foldy and Gausman and Soroka are a little dinged up. That's it. That's why you need it. It's just a stopgap thing. So I'm not worried about the rotation. The rotation does not concern me. Bullpen still does. Rotation does not concern me.
Yeah. And that's probably where you're going to probably look to probably bolster as the season goes on. Mm-hmm. But that's something that you have to work on. I think this is going to be – this pitching staff is going to be – and I know probably fans won't hear this – ongoing process, especially mm-hmm. when you talk about that bullpen situation.
And the other big baseball news, Ichiro Suzuki announcing his retirement after the game today that they're playing right now. They're tied 4-4 in the eighth inning in Tokyo, and he will be done. All right, so we mentioned yesterday big news in Athens was pro day for the Georgia Bulldogs. No, Elijah Holyfield did not run well. He ran two 40s, and those splits were not good. They, matter of fact, they were slower than he ran at the combine, at least according to the media. So not necessarily good. Thomas Dimitroff and Dan Quinn were there. Bill Belichick was there. A number of scouts, because of, you know, the studs that Georgia has, were in Athens yesterday. For the Falcons general manager, there was talk about what he thought about the Georgia Bulldogs. He also talked about his 14th pick and what he's thinking about right now at pick number 14.
Yeah, as much as we don't like being at 14 and, you know, affords us an opportunity to be a little more creative about, you know, whether we move up or whether we move back. Everyone continues to tell me that I never want to move back, but 14 is a good place to be considering, you know, the move back as well. So it just gives you some real flexibility, and you know that for sure at 14 there's going to be a, you know, a legit player that you're going to be really excited about. And again, it's a really interesting draft this year. The people that are going to be around there through the first 20-something picks, in my mind.
I think the Falcons are going to be wheeling and dealing on draft day, Hugh. They have 9 picks. They have 7 picks in the through their 7 rounds. They also have 2 compensatory picks that are in the top 5. 7 picks in the top 5 rounds right now. I could see, Hugh, where the Falcons draft, where they trade down and pick up another pick, like a third rounder, and trade down to 18, 19 and still get a guy like Dexter Lawrence. And then when they get around to like the second round, you start trading your 2 third round picks that you just picked up the second one. You move up in the second round. I can see where they're going to be doing some wheeling and dealing on draft day.
Don, you see them doing wheeling and dealing every year. We get ready to talk about the draft. I don't think they're in a position to do that, John. I think that you need to get a quality starter at 14. Just like Thomas Mitchell said, that's not desirably where you want to pick. But you're in a position right now where you need to get some quality players. You've got a couple guys where, if you want to be realistic about it, there's pressure on Tack McKinley. Like, Tack had a year where you looked at him and you thought that he was about to be that guy. Now the pressure's on him even more, and maybe that's partly because of what Vic Beasley hasn't done, but Tack's under a lot of pressure. At 14, you are under pressure to get a difference maker, and it has to be on the defensive side of the ball, in my opinion. You have to get one. So you're not in a position to be moving around trying to be, you know, cute. You got to get somebody at that 14th spot that's going to come in and that's going to create havoc. Off the top,
and that could well be the case, and so they could end up moving up. And if, let's say, they're in love with Rashawn Gary or they're in love with Cleveland Furl, I mean, we don't know what their big board looks like.
Yeah, but this is how I envision the Atlanta Falcons draft going. You're looking at every team on top of you, in front of you, and you're looking at their primary needs. There's a few teams up there, you know, obviously in the number 1, 2 picks, they need, but you know, the number 1 pick potentially could be a quarterback. That's going to be an offensive player. And as you go through the draft, you start looking at team needs, and then you start taking players off the list by that. And you look for the teams that probably are in the same wheelhouse as you as far as their needs are concerned. Mm-hmm. We'll probably say D-tackle, defensive end, edge rusher. Mm-hmm. And then you start to look at realistically who's going to be there when you're potentially picking. Now, there's so many intangibles in there. Somebody could throw the draft off. The 1 year that Joey Bosa went, everybody was surprised that the San Diego Chargers moved up to get him. So there's a team out there that could really throw a monkey wrench into things. But I think that they're looking at it, and they have in their mind 2 or 3 quality guys that kind of fit the mold of what they want to do, that they will be there in that the area where they're picking.
I have no doubt that the Falcons weren't making a – they didn't go over there just because they're buddies with Kirby Smart. They went over there. This was a business trip up the 316 for the Falcons because, you know, frankly, this is they're looking at least 2 of these Georgia players, I'm convinced. Now, are they looking at DeAndre Baker? Now, the D. Orlando Ledbetter came on our show, and he said that he thinks that DeAndre Baker is going to be the Falcons' pick at 14. I'd be surprised if they took a cornerback. This is what Thomas Dimitroff said about the Georgia star corner.
DeAndre had a really good day today. He's obviously quick, fast, explosive, can run, cover the field, very good range that way, and he's being reported as one of the best in the country, in the draft. So we'll be interested to see how that plays out.
That doesn't sound like a guy picking him. Yeah, he's being reported to be one of the best. We'll see how that plays out.
Let me tell you, I have been around these GMs. Howie Roseman is a guy that, you know, I have a pretty good relationship with Howie. We talk on the phone a few times. And I like to push the envelope a little bit. I like to ask pointed questions. They never, ever, ever, ever show their hand, ever, unless you are part of the organization. They always, like Thomas, like you could, they're cookie cutter, John. You could talk to, you could take those cuts of Thomas Dimitroff and you can go to another station, say in San Diego, and you talk to their GM. Same exact thing. They are so paranoid that teams are going to listen to what they're saying and kind of get a beat on what they want to do, and they will cherry pick their draft picks and things of mm-hmm. that nature, especially in the division. So they never say anything. They never say anything because they know that people are listening to the sound bites, trying to get a hint about what they're potentially trying to do.
Of course, the draft a little over a month away in Nashville. Thomas Dimitroff talking again about another Georgia player, Elijah Holyfield, and the fact that Holyfield's 40 times, as we mentioned, we're 4.8 plus, according to the media, which is not really good.
Of course, it's a concern, and I think it depends on, you know, an organization of how high you determine that to be sort of the guiding light. Obviously, he's a good football player, so we know that we have to keep an eye on that. He's a good football player and knows how to play this game.
Right, he's a football player. He even said, I'm a football player. That was my point earlier when I said, you know, could he be a lead blocker? Could he play essentially a fullback spot for you? Could he be a short yardage back for you? Could he be a special teams guy for you? Elijah Holyfield, the 4.8 times that he's been running at the Combine and at Pro Day don't necessarily kill him in terms of his NFL. I mean, it's going to cost him in the draft. He's probably going to drop to the 5th round or so, maybe even the 6th round. But if he's willing to do more, Hugh, and not just be a feature running back, if he's willing to be that short yardage guy, that lead guy who can do a block, if he wants to play special teams, you know, he's going to get drafted.
Yeah, I think he's going to get drafted. And to your point, somebody might ask him to play fullback. And to your point, he might decide to do that just because he wants to be in the league. But I think, honestly, that he's probably doing himself a disservice. He's not – when you're used to carrying the ball and you go back to – and somebody asks you to block, that's a tough spot to be in because there's – first of all, you have the proper mentality to be a fullback.
Mm-hmm.
And second of all, you have to be used to taking on – all of that punishment. Because think about it like this. Running backs are taught to make the defensive lineman miss. They don't want to absorb that punishment from the defensive lineman. Think about, for example, Devontae Freeman and how many times you see D linemen get a clean shot on him. They're not built to take that kind of punishment. Fullbacks, on the other hand, they live for that. That's why their necks are so short and their shoulders are so wide. They are built for that. Elijah Holyfield is built pretty good for a running back. He's not built like a fullback. I mean, he has a nice size for a nice size running back. But when you're talking about a fullback, John, that's a different – you talk about dudes with no neck, big old shoulders, big chest. Like, they go in the gym, and they lift in the gym, and they squat in the gym because they got to get up under guys, and they have to root people out of there when they're doing that lead blocking. He's not built for that. He's not. Now, could he put on some size and maybe become a fullback? Maybe, but that's a project.
I'm just saying he has to be a multi-tool player.
No, he does. You're right, especially in this day and age. But
he
could
be a running back, a fullback, a short yardage guy, a special teams guy. He's got to be able to do it all at running 4.8s.
But I feel that he could go to a team and still be a serviceable guy. He could still be that.
Oh, I agree.
You look at.
I agree. I would venture to say. I like him a lot.
I would venture to say you look at the 40 times for, I would say, in the NFL now for half the running backs. Probably like 4.6, 4.7. That's not blazing speed. You got the upper echelon guys like the Zeke Elliott and the Ty Gurley's, and then it's just a bunch of other guys, Alvin Kamara's. Mm-hmm. So he can find him. He can find a home somewhere.
And
I just don't see him as a lead blocker.
I think the Falcons are there looking at Isaac Nauta and Jonathan Ledbetter as later round potentially fifth round picks that they could, you know, shore up tight end or edge rusher with another guy. So it'd be interesting. Hey. Let's ask the expert, Jake Rowe, Dogs 24/7. We'll continue this conversation about where these Georgia guys might go and what the Falcons are looking at from that UGA Pro Day. We'll do that next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Swing and a drive!
America's pastime is back as our Braves get set to kick off the season with a home opener versus the Cubs, Monday, April 1st.
Struck him out looking, and the Braves have won again.
For exclusive Braves coverage, keep it here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. For those of you on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line, I can't be clearer. I mean, I'm not really talking about – I'm not asking Elijah Holyfield to be a fullback full-time. I'm saying he has to adopt that role whenever they would need something, because Luke Stocker can also play fullback, just to go in and be in double back sets, be a lead blocker at times, be a short yardage guy, be a special teams. He's got to do more. It's not like you're going to draft Elijah Holyfield and say, okay, Devontae, you're on the bench, Elijah, we're handing you the ball 20 times. That's not what's going
to
happen.
Well, that's any rookie, to be totally honest, John. But it's like, to from the caller's perspective or the listener's perspective,
right,
it does sound like you're trying to stick him at fullback just a little bit.
Well, let's ask Jake Rowe of Dogs 24/7 what he saw at Pro Day, and he joins us this morning on the WadeFord.com hotline. Morning to you, Jake.
Morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, see, I guess it's my contention that since Evander, listen to me.
Yeah, Elijah.
Elijah. ran another, you know, it was what comparatively.
He didn't run fast.
Yeah, okay,
he didn't run
there
fast.
You go, bad 40 times. Is that he's going to have to, you know, kind of invent himself and convince some of these guys that he's a more you can do guy. He's going to have to be able to do multiple things.
He is, that's for sure. And you know, when you're not a home run threat or kind of the guy that can be that speed back, I think you've got to kind of prove that you can serve in multiple roles, that you can play special teams and be a really good player in all those roles. And listen, Elijah Holyfield's a good football player. I mean, I don't think if you know, there's no way to really measure that. I don't think. You can see it. There's the eyeball test on film. But there's no testing to see how good of a football player you are. And, you know, he's going to get a shot. I don't necessarily know that he's going to get drafted, but he's going to get a shot with an NFL team as an undrafted free agent and things like that. And if he wants to make a team, if he wants to spend, you know, 5-10 years in the league, he's going to have to show that he can do more than just run the football. And, you know, I think he can, and I think he will ultimately. You know, I think yesterday I was pretty impressed with him at Pro Day. You know, not from the testing aspect as much as he caught the ball really well, you know, that when they were, you know, going through drills and things like that. That's something he didn't do a ton of at Georgia. And I think he's going to have to show the ability to do those types of things. And, you know, he's a hard worker. You know, Kirby Smart pointed it out after Pro Day yesterday that he was the kind of guy who would he would stay after every practice, he's the last guy off the field catching extra balls. And, you know, if he can develop that part of his game – you know, he's got to make you miss and twitch and quick feet, and he's really tough to tackle in space. I think he could probably catch on as a hybrid, you know, as a third running back, fullback, third down guy, thing like that. I don't think that he's one of these guys that's a lost cause when it comes to, you know, finding different roles and being able to do different things.
Outside of Elijah Holyfield, who else at Georgia's Pro Day kind of stuck out to you a little bit?
Well, I thought Isaac Nauta had a really good day, and I thought all of Georgia's receivers was really good. I mean, when you start to, you know, look at all those drills, Hugh, and all of those short throws, and Georgia had a former Miami quarterback, you know, throwing to him there, and got to GA at Georgia, and he was throwing some rockets, and those guys were plucking everything out of the air, and I didn't see a ball hit the ground. You know, obviously you're kind of coming away from those things, interviewing other guys that are done for the day, so you don't see it all, but I didn't see a single drop. You know, I thought Jason Stanley stood out. You know, 6'3", 200 pounds, runs a 4.43. You know, at Pro Day yesterday, you know, there you know as well as I do, the league is littered with those big wide receiver types that can cover kicks and punts and be a 4-5-6 guy on the roster. In that regard, I think he's got a chance to be out there. You know, and obviously Mecole Hardman. I mean, listen, if this kid's not rising up draft boards at this point, all things considered, I'd be surprised. I mean, you got a 5'11", 185-pound kid, runs a 4.31 at the combine. He's lightning quick. He's not just a straight-ahead speed guy. He can make you miss. He can play special teams. He can catch kicks and punts. He can do all those things. And not only that, there is so much meat left on the bone with that kid because, as Kirby Smart pointed out yesterday, he caught snaps in high school as a running quarterback. He spent his first year at Georgia playing defensive back. He's had 2 years of wide receiver experience under his belt. And so you've got to think that when football becomes a full-time job for him, you know, he's going to have a lot of room to get better and develop that skill set. And I also thought DeAndre Baker had a huge day yesterday. He ran really well in the 40. A lot of scouts got him in the 4.4 range. I spoke with a scout afterwards who told me they got him at 4.41. And you know, when you look at his overall body of work, not giving up a touchdown in 2 years, 28 straight games, you know, Jim Thorpe Award winner, shadowed the opposing team's best, you know, wide receiver all year long. I thought it was impressive in the SEC championship game. You know, yeah, Jerry Jeudy had the Biletnikoff Award winner from Alabama did have a 10-yard touchdown catch in that game, but otherwise, when he was covered by Baker, he had two catches for, I think, 14 yards. So, you know, Baker is a very productive corner and a guy that I think is kind of built for the NFL.
When we talk about all these players that ran and showed out for the pro scouts, one guy decided not to run, Riley Ridley. Do you think that kind of hurt him a little bit because he didn't run?
I don't think so. And it was because, you know, when I saw him run the 40 at the combine, I think it was a 4.58 or something of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought that was a good time for Riley. You know, I know, was it a great time? But, you know, did he really exceed expectations? Probably not. But I think it's one of those things where you kind of cross the finish line and then you move on to something else. And I think that's what he kind of looked at it as, too. You know, he's not a guy whose game is built on elite speed. He's got plenty of it. I mean, I don't think the common man realizes that a 4.58 is pretty good. You're still moving pretty well. There are some freaks out there that are bigger and stronger and faster and things of that nature. You know, your DK Metcalf and Montez Sweats of the world who can just do some things that you just don't expect. But 4.58, 4.5 range is plenty of speed to play in the NFL for a guy who runs tremendous routes, catches just about everything thrown his way, has good size. I mean, Riley Ridley can do it all, and I think that he is very similar to a lot of wide receivers in the league that are good football players, that can kind of catch everything thrown their way. They can gain separation through route running, and they're fast enough to challenge some cornerbacks on some of these option routes when they catch him making a mistake.
Hey, appreciate it, Jake. Thanks very much. I appreciate your insight. Jake Rowe of Dogs 24/7 as we get an update on UGA Pro Day. And, of course, we'll turn our attention back to UGA and spring practice coming up. All right, next, it is the round of 64 in the NCAA tournament. Are your brackets in? And who is going to be Cinderella and who's going to win it all? We'll tell you and update you on our picks next with John and you on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh.